listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. NBA trade deadline coming up, and a lot of it's been heating up, and we'll get the thought of the big story of the what could possibly happen with Brooklyn and Philadelphia. Lee Ellis of The Athletic joining us again on our Progressive Guest Line. How are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks, Tony. How are you?
I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on, because I know it's a busy time right now as we get closer and closer, and a lot of things are still buzzing. By the way, Lee Ellis on a Progressive Guest Line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right, what are you hearing? Is it hot or cold, the Simmons-Harden possible trade?
Well, it really depends on who you follow on Twitter, right. I think, to answer that question, because we've got, you know, respected ESPN reporters with contradicting information. We've seen Woj, of course, he's very well connected. He's saying they're not even talking. And then you've got Brian Windhorst, who's also very well connected, saying they're basically just haggling over the finer details right now. So I'm not exactly sure which one is right. I guess we will find out for sure in the next, 6 hours or so we've got here left of the until the trade deadline. But I believe not to disrespect Wojnarowski, of course, but I certainly believe that Brian Windhorst is probably more likely to be on the right path here, simply because it just seems to me that the chances of them not talking right now doesn't seem likely, because the big thing here is that James Harden, he didn't sign an extension that the Nets offered him earlier in the season, 3 years and around $160 million. And there's a potential that the Nets could lose him in the offseason for nothing. So if you can get a guy who brings his own issues and his own problems there and Ben Simmons in right now, you get a young player, a great defensive player, and you get a guy who's under contract for three more seasons, I would think the Nets would say, we probably want to at least get that asset in return rather than losing James, because James could still, of course, end up in Philadelphia in the offseason here anyway. That's sort of where it appears to be heading. So if you ask me, James Harden will be a Philadelphia 76er. Maybe not today, but in the offseason. So if you're the Brooklyn Nets, and look, James Harden's an incredible player, an MVP, the Hall of Famer, all those sorts of things. But we have also seen this act from him before when he wanted out of Houston. I mean, it was just, he maybe didn't verbally say it, but his body language and the way that he played in those last few games and his last few weeks there clearly indicated that he was done with the franchise. And I think that's what we've seen from him too here in Brooklyn in these last couple of games that he's played. I mean, he's actually been out for about the last four games.
Right.
But prior to the hamstring injury there, you could just tell that game against Sacramento last week where he shot 2 for 11, had 4 points, and defensively he just didn't even pretend to be trying there. So if you ask me, James Harden is sending a message certainly to the Nets that he wants out. And if you're Brooklyn, there's a really, really, some risk, of course, attached with the asset you can get. But I think you probably want to make that move. So I think we probably are going to see it today. I think it's one of those things that, the two front offices are probably going to get right down to, 2:59 Eastern before they agree on it. But really, if a player doesn't want to be there, and we've seen the Nets now, obviously Kevin Durant's out as well, but we've seen the Nets really tumble from the first position in the East now to sort of that play-in tournament area, I think you probably want to make this move and see if you can get something out of it. Because if you have James Harden come back and he's only at sort of 50% engagement, then I don't think the Nets are any closer to winning a championship. There's no guarantees with Ben Simmons either, but
right.
I think you just want to sort of have one eye on the future and one eye on the rest of the season. And I think at least the asset of Ben Simmons is better than losing potentially James Harden for nothing or having a guy who just maybe mails in the rest of the season.
What would it mean to Philadelphia if they had Harden, especially with the way Embiid is playing at an MVP level?
Well, I think it's an immediate improvement if you get the James Harden that we know can be the guy who can go out there and get you 35 points and get you 12 assists, because he can play alongside Joel Embiid. I think their two games do actually work together. I think with Simmons and Embiid, the problem with Ben Simmons' inability to shoot is that they get on top of each other a little bit too much. So now, James Harden can shoot the three-pointer, obviously. He can drive inside. He can distribute the ball. He's got a bit of a reputation, of course, of being a bit of a ball hog. But at his best in Houston, James Harden would come down and fire that ball out to shooters on the wing, and they'd hit those three. So if the Sixers have Korkmaz and Seth Curry and Tyrese Maxey, these sorts of guys out there, then that really does make the Philadelphia 76ers a much stronger threat than they are right now. So it improves them. Now, The other question, though, is, you know, are these injuries legitimate? Is the hamstring with James Harden really a problem? Because it was a problem for them in the playoffs last season. So that's a risk, of course, there for Philadelphia. But again, Simmons isn't playing. So you're getting an all-star player for a guy who just isn't playing and probably won't play the rest of the season if this trade doesn't happen anyway. So I think all those factors that you take into account, Philadelphia should make this move because it would just make them better and make them closer to winning a championship with Joel Embiid playing. You know, he's no worse than third best chances for MVP this season. So I think you absolutely have to go out there and get him quality help right now while you can. And I think Philadelphia would be better for it. I mean, no one knows exactly how it's going to pan out. But I think if you give the right sort of combination of players there, and I think a really dominant big and a really dominant point guard, that can make Philadelphia a really, really tough team in the East.
All right, let's go back to Brooklyn, but let's talk about something else, and that's Kyrie Irving. He's doing the thing where he's playing on the road, but he's not playing at home. Many of us thought that this wasn't going to work. Now that we've had a number of games, Lee, how are you assessing the way this is being incorporated into what Steve Nash has to do with it?
Well, I think it's actually a really big problem here for Brooklyn. I think this is actually contributing to James Harden's situation. He's sort of said it without saying Kyrie's name directly. He's basically referred, you know, we need our guys and we need everyone to be playing when they're available. So, you know, he might not actually mention his name, but he's doing everything else he can. And I think if you're Steve Nash, it's got to be driving you crazy that you've got right. a guy who's 100% healthy, but he just simply refuses to play in home games. I mean, it's not, you know, he's not being stopped from playing, he's choosing not to play, and that's the real problem here. So if you're Steve Nash, you know, coaches, look, you look at Kevin Durant right now, he can't play because of this injury. It's a serious injury to his knee. He's likely back in a couple of weeks or so. So he can't play. He's not an option. Kyrie Irving's choosing not to play. And that, if you're a coach and you're trying to compete for a championship, you know, coaches always talk about players need to be on the same page and everyone needs to be working toward the same goal. Well, Kyrie isn't. Kyrie's doing what he wants and what suits him. And that really is hurting the continuity that they're trying to build, the chemistry they're trying to build. And even the other teammates, you can tell, I think, they're like, well, this guy only plays when it suits him. And so how do we sort of build that trust? How do we build that chemistry together when not everyone's buying into the system? So I think it's a real problem. Kyrie, of course, was eligible for a big extension as well at the start of this season. The Nets didn't offer him that. He has a player option next year for about $35, $36 million. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there because he's, you know, in terms of a basketball player, he's a brilliant player, great scorer. You know, he's won a championship. He's had huge moments in his career, but if there's more than just that, what happens on the court. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, the former Piston, the two-time champ, lots of what he's talked about in the past, and the reason I bring him up is because he plays a similar position, of course, to Kyrie Irving, is that he always talks about what happens off the court, in the locker room, on the buses, on the planes, when the teams are together. That's how you build that sort of camaraderie and that chemistry. And if you've got a guy who's kind of like, you know, in and out whenever he feels like it, it's just really hard for that team, I think, to grow together. So it's a big problem. Maybe there's some talk about this, you know, the vaccination requirement maybe being lifted at some point. We'll see what happens there. But if Kyrie is still refusing to get vaccinated, then I really think the team is going to struggle, especially in the playoffs, if they're in the playoffs and he just won't play home games.
I want to ask you about the Lakers, because I thought last night was awful. I mean, absolutely awful. I mean, to lose to a Portland team that traded C.J. McCollum, hasn't had Damian Lillard from surgery. This is a Blazers team that's basically throwing a roster out there. And you still have LeBron and Anthony Davis. And they lose on the – even if it's on the road, I don't care. James Worthy, we just had a quote from James Worthy. He said, this is one of the darkest moments in the Laker franchise. What is going on there? Do they have to make a move at the deadline? What is happening to this team?
Well, they have to make a move. The problem is they haven't really got anything that they can or that they're going to move. I mean, they're obviously not going to move LeBron or Anthony Davis. Nobody wants that Russell Westbrook contract because he's got a $47 million player option for next season. They've got no draft picks until 2027. That apparently is the one sort of thing that teams are basically saying, we'll take Westbrook's contract, but you've got to give us that first-round pick in 5 years' time. And I think the Lakers, considering how much they've given up to get this roster, they're like, we can't give up another first-round draft pick. But I think if you're the Lakers, you've got to make a deal today. If you can get off Westbrook's contract and maybe get some talent in return, you know, maybe you get Kuzma back. Who knows? I don't know exactly who they're talking to, but if you can get off that contract and it costs you a first-round pick, worry about 2027 in a few years' time. They've got to salvage this season because LeBron, 37, you know, he's obviously not getting any younger. He's still a great player, but they're in win-now mode. They're not worried about what's going to happen in 5 years' time. So I think they've got to make that move, and I think that's really the only move they can make. You know, you're not going to get anything for a Trevor Ariza or a Bazemore or a Dwight. You know, they're just, those players just don't bring you any return. Talen Horton-Tucker, maybe a little something, but it's a like for like. And then Malik Monk, he's another player who's actually been playing okay for them, shooting the ball. But really, what sort of a trade asset is he that anyone's going to give up anything significant? So the Lakers, yeah, that loss last night was abysmal. But they've been playing badly, you know, a lot of times this season. Defensively, they are just not locked in at all. Yeah. And that, I think, is a problem. The Blazers last night shot with confidence. They attacked the paint, and the Lakers just had no resistance. So it almost doesn't matter, you know, that you've got two incredible talents on the offensive end if the other team, and you mentioned it, like, this is a team trying to lose. The Blazers want draft picks. Their direction... Their direction they've signaled in the last week or so with these moves that they've made is that, like, we are hitting the reset button. So we don't want to win. We want a high draft pick. They got it. They picked up a couple in some trades there. They want to keep their own and see if they can hit some talent in the draft next season. So, you know, when you lose to a team that's trying to lose, that's a pretty bad sign.
Lee, always good talking to you, my friend. We'll get you down the road as we get closer and closer to the way this playoff may be looking coming up in March. Appreciate your time as always, my friend.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Come back, wrap up this hour, get you set for hour 3 as we roll along on Sports Map Radio.